It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's 2:05 here on DGS. We'll mention it a few times here and there, obviously keeping you updated on Dave being out. We keep saying day to day for him, and obviously he'll come back when the time is right. But, you know, as we mentioned earlier, he texted us a little bit ago and wanted us to pass along to everybody listening that, you know, we know his mom, Frances, has been in hospice now for a while. And in recent days, really maybe even a little longer than that, things started to go downhill, which, you know, unfortunately it's part of being in hospice. And then the other day in the middle of the show, Dave got the call that, you know, it's probably getting to the point where you'll want to be around a little bit more. That's where he is. Sounds like the doctors think, today or tomorrow, maybe when she passes. So we'll let you know. Dave wanted us to make sure though that everybody listening understands it, and he really does appreciate everybody's support. You know, we're in contact with him regularly. He's surrounded by family, and everything is calm and peaceful there. But just letting you know where Dave is, and obviously when the time is right, Dave will be back with us. All right, no easy way to, we do this all the time. Dave is the best at transitioning from a thing to another thing that are not alike, and doing it simply. So I'm just going to do it that way because there's no easy way to transition out of that kind of news being passed along to people. We bring in our buddy Matt Pauly. Sports Open Line is coming up tonight. You guys are going to have a little bit of extra fun out on the road tonight, Matt. So we'll talk some baseball in a minute. But first up, let's talk about tonight out at Hot Shots in O'Fallon.
Yeah, so Fallon, Illinois is where we're going to be at for the Michelob Ultra Soccer Showcase. And Akil Watts from City SC is going to be there. He'll spend a little bit of time with us on the radio, and then he'll head to another table and sign autographs and take pictures and do all that sort of stuff. So it's your chance to meet Akil Watts. Jen Cease and I will have Sports Open Line from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, so a lot of fun. And I mentioned this earlier today when I was on with Chris and Amy. Last year we did these events, and all of our events were on the Missouri side of the river.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell you how much I heard from people from Illinois who were, quite frankly, upset that we were not in Illinois. So we are in Illinois. So I am calling out all of our listeners who live on the Illinois side of things. If you were somebody who took the time to complain last year that we were not in Illinois, well, here we are. You are morally and contractually obligated to show up tonight.
Yeah, good job. Good job. I'll tell you this, Matt. When we had the Blues here years ago, Curbs and I would do the summer caravan, and we'd go all over the place. And at every one of our stops on the east side were packed, including at the Hot Shot that you're going to be at tonight. When we went there, it was absolute madhouse, full of crazy Blues fans. I'm guessing it's going to be like that for you guys tonight.
I hope so. I'm glad we're going to get over there. You know, we do just 4 of these a year, and there's a lot more than 4 Hot Shots throughout the area. So we distribute them throughout the St. Louis metro area, and tonight it is O'Fallon, Illinois.
All right, so you guys will do that early. Am I correct to assume that there'll still be a little Cardinals talk mixed in there later on as things get going?
Yeah, the 6 o'clock hour will be mostly soccer. 7 o'clock hour will be mostly baseball.
All right, good. So, obviously, looking forward to the big show tonight. And, again, you can come out to the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. Akil Watts will be there. Obviously, Matt Pauly will be there. Jen Cease will be there. It'll be a great time to get out there for autographs, pictures, talk some sports with Matt and Jen. And, obviously, if you're out there, you probably want to eat something. I'm just saying, it's going to be the dinner hour. You probably want to eat something.
I'm going to go look at the Hot Shots menu right now, actually.
definitely a lot of good choices when it comes to that. All right, so obviously, Matt, day off today, which is why we're able to do this. Cardinals get the day off today. They got Washington tomorrow. They got the Rangers following that. The deadline is next week, and I think that's where a lot of the conversation is right now, right? The trade deadline is probably overwhelming even the day-to-day on-field stuff.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say, and I don't know about you, Wheels. I get frustrated with a lot of the insider reports. When I have talked to baseball executives, I've asked them, like, how much of the stuff that we see on social media from this, you know, quote-unquote baseball insiders is legit, is real? And they always tell me, well, there's always, like, a small piece of it that has some truth to it.
Right.
But it's, for the most part, not really real. And you got to remember, all these reports, these insiders have connections. And whether it's player agents or whether it's team, you know, there's almost always an agenda behind reports that come out. So the thing I hate about the trade deadline is when we get stuck in the mud talking about individual names, because I always kind of think that it's a total crapshoot on what it could turn into. You know, a couple years ago, I don't think anybody had Jordan Montgomery on the as somebody that the Cardinals were connected to, and lo and behold, he ends up with the Cardinals. So I hate doing that. It's one of my pet peeves of this time of the year. But what I do like doing is I love talking about the general, what are the needs, and I think those needs are pretty clear for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think the closer you get to the deadline, the more the reports involving individual names matter. But word of advice, you know this, but here you and I can also provide, I guess, maybe a bit of a disclaimer when it comes to all of this, because we've been involved in this for so long. Just understand who you're reading, because that matters. Yes. Ken Rosenthal is not one to just sling nonsense. I don't find Jeff Passan to be one that slings some nonsense. There are some others. Not that they think it's nonsense. They're not trying to BS you. It's just this is the game that they're involved in pretty heavily, and some of what you're hearing as far as what's floated isn't always that serious. I mean, I would equate it to what you hear around the NFL draft. Everybody in the NFL jokes you should only believe 20% of what you hear around draft time. I mean, it's that kind of thing where there may be a kernel of truth, right? A team is interested in player X. That doesn't mean there's a match, and it doesn't mean that the players, the rumor is that, you know, the Cardinals are interested in a Yankee. Well, are the Yankees interested in what the Cardinals have to offer? Like, that's the part we never really have the full picture on until you get down to the wire in the days right up to the deadline.
I also think it's good to remind people that these reports are very much transactional. So you're an insider and you've got a relationship with a player agent. That player agent wants to drum up some interest in his client. So says, hey, can you go out there and say that 17 teams are interested in my guy, thinking that that's going to do something, and then all of a sudden, when that player is a free agent in the offseason, it's that insider who's going to get the inside tip on where he's signing. So the transactional nature of insider reporting in sports is kind of sickening, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, you just have, again, like everything else,
it's not journalism. That's what bothers me.
Some of it's not meant to be, though. Some of it's just meant to be entertainment. And I think that's the important part. That's why I always offer up, just as a fan, as a consumer, just be aware that what you're seeing is not always just a real report. What you're seeing sometimes is speculation or, hey, one person told me this thing might be a possibility, as opposed to this is actually being discussed and could happen.
Yeah, I don't know. It bugs me. It's one of my pet peeves. I just don't like it.
Totally get it. All right, let's fixate on the Cardinals.
Okay.
So historically, they are very conservative at the trade deadline. They don't make a lot of big splash moves. I think busiest year they had in terms of adding players was probably 2011 around the deadline, but almost all of the guys they added were complimentary pieces, not stars, right? You added Rafael Furcal, who was not a star at that time. He was an older player, and you, Octavio Dotel and Mark Zipchinski and, you know, Edwin Jackson. Like, and the biggest move was actually subtracting Colby Rasmus to open up center field for John Jay. So, you know, that was a very busy, very active buy for the Cardinals, but in that very Cardinal way that it's nothing's over the top. And I think, would you say it's probably fair to say set your expectations based on their history? Not that they won't make moves. I suspect they'll make at least a couple of moves. Certainly starting pitchers on the menu. Certainly a bullpen arm, a right-handed one is on the menu. A right-handed bat would be on the menu. But I wouldn't expect it all, and I wouldn't expect the biggest of the big names that you can dream up.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But, you know, the names that you just mentioned, I've talked to Mike Claiborne about this, and he has said over and over and over, Cardinals do not win the 2011 World Series without Octavio Dotel.
No, so, not at all. They don't win without Zipchinski. They don't win without Furcal taking over at shortstop. They don't win if Colby Rasmus is playing instead of John Jay. I mean, no, that was a very meaningful. And by the way, they don't win without adding Edwin Jackson, who they desperately needed because they needed innings from a couple of guys. No, that was a very good deadline, but none of the players involved were the headliners of the deadline where you're giving up three of your best prospects for one dude.
And I liked the trade deadline 2 years ago with Jordan Montgomery, Jose Quintana, and Chris Stratton. Those were guys who came in and did a nice job as well. And I think that's the we're saying the same thing. That's the kind of the level of player that I think we're talking about. I've said it over and over. I'm sure people who listen to KMOX a lot are sick of hearing me say this. From a starting pitching standpoint, they don't make themselves better unless they go find a guy who you can slot in as your number two starting pitcher. So better than everybody on the roster outside of Sonny Gray. I don't think you're that much better. I don't think you position yourself better for the playoffs without at least bringing in that level of starting pitcher.
Yeah, and you look, I think we've discussed that from early in the year. And you know, this is where one move obviously could turn into two. Let's say you go get that starter, and there are some really interesting names that are being discussed, not necessarily, reports that the Cardinals are in talks to get them, but the name of Zach Eflin has come up, Eric Fetty from the White Sox. Those are players that would be your second best starter.
Yep.
And those players bump somebody out, most likely Pallante, who could then bolster the bullpen as a middle reliever.
Or, look, I don't really see a scenario where they make many moves this year without trading off of the major league roster too.
Could be, yeah.
And I'm not trying to trade Andre Pallante, but
right.
if you're a team that's trading a starter and you don't really have somebody at AAA ready to step in and the return is Andre Pallante as part of the deal, that's going to make a lot of sense because then it's a one for one inside of your rotation and you're not scrambling to find a guy to fill some innings. So, Ken Rosenthal said this maybe 2-3 weeks ago, that one of the reasons that the Cardinals are as well positioned as most teams in baseball to be able to pull off some deals is because of the way the major league roster is. There's a lot of redundancy there. There's also some situations with guys that are going to get healthy that you don't really know how they fit on the roster. Mm. So they're going to have to give away some prospects without a doubt. They're going to have to trade away from their minor league system. But when you're putting together a deal to be able to add some young talent that's already at the major league level is something that could push the Cardinals ahead of some other teams.
And if you're adding to the roster, you have to subtract somebody. You know, I mean, like the roster doesn't get bigger. If somebody comes in, someone's going to have to go out. Now, you have guys like Roycroft and Leahy. Those guys can go back to Memphis. So they have some flexibility. But I would agree that that's probably an attractive thing in terms of another team. Because these other teams, you know, most of them don't have a whole list of pitchers that are coming back from an injury list. Although, part of the reason somebody like Tampa is being rumored to think about trading starters is they have three guys coming off the injured list. So maybe that is a thing, maybe not, but I think that's a fair expectation. I also wonder, Matt, and we can kind of finish on this. I wonder if we're now kind of in the last week of seeing Dylan Carlson with the team because he's clearly in a role where he doesn't play very much. His role as a right-handed bat against lefties has been diminished this year. He really hasn't been what he's been in the past in that regard. He's young, so I can see where he would be attractive to a team that's trading a rental. I don't think you're going to get your big star guy for a guy like Dylan Carlson, but I can see him being a part of a deal for a rental for someone's like, hey, 25, can play all over the outfield, switch hitter, we'll take a chance.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I don't really see a scenario where it would make sense to have both him and Tommy Edman on the roster. Right now, Dylan Carlson's biggest value is he's a guy who can go play center field. But honestly, he hasn't been as good defensively this year either. Maybe it's just because we compare him to Michael Ciani, and Ciani has been so great out there defensively. But you watch Dylan Carlson, and it feels like he's even a step off what he has been in the outfield over his career. So, yeah, I would think that Carlson's name, and I hate doing this. Like, these are human beings.
Yeah,
and
yeah. I mean,
you know, that's the part that I hate about this. But yeah, if you're John Mozeliak and the rest of the Cardinals staff that's talking with other teams, there's no way that Dylan Carlson's name is not being brought up.
All right, buddy, have a good time out there tonight. Hot shots at O'Fallon. You'll be out there with Jen. Obviously, Akil Watts will be joining you. This is the KMOX Sports Soccer Showcase. So out on the road there from 6 until 8 o'clock tonight for Sports Open Line. Have a good time out there, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, sounds great.
All right, we went a little long with Matt Pauly, so this will be a little bit on the short side. Rach, you got my attention with the thumbs up emoji.
Oh, yeah.
Continuing to be
it's a hot
controversial
topic. Yeah, apparently Gen Z really hates the thumbs up emoji to the point where even if you're talking on like Teams or Slack or something, you know, we'll send each other like a group text message and we'll reply with a heart or a thumbs up or something, just letting people know, like, I've seen your message.
Yeah.
I saw an article earlier this week that said it was a Gen Z office worker who was like, I feel like it's hostile and it's unsettling when people respond to my message with the thumbs up emoji. They said, I try to reply to everything with a heart. The thumbs up just seems so like strident and so just like over the top. And I wish people would stop using it. And I'm thinking, if you send me all heart reacts, if I'm
gonna
like,
think you're a little weird.
Yeah, if you're like, I've sent you the file. It's like, you love that?
Yeah.
How about you like that? Yeah. How about you just send me a quick thumbs up? Okay.
Take it down a notch.
Yeah, like, I think, so I say a lot that those of us that are older, so Gen X, Boomer, because I've done this a lot when people would pick on your guys' generation, when people would pick on millennials, like, listen, you have to understand that they're going to be different. They're not going to speak like you. They're not going to do things. They're not going to like the same things that you like, or that, you know, no generation likes the same things as the ones that came before it. That's not going to happen. And I think that's also true when I talk to a younger audience. You have to understand the world is not going to change for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 52. I'm not going to be like, oh no, maybe Jimmy, who's getting my text messages, is going to be mad at me if I send him a thumbs up. I'm going to send a thumbs up because in my world, that just means, okay, that's all it is. So, yes, I think generational understanding is important. Like and I think we as the older generations probably carry more of the brunt of that because we have the life experience to be able to process things. But you, even if you're 22 years old, you should still be able to look at it. If you're working in a real professional place,
be like, oh, they mean it in a different way.
Be like, that person is 50. They're my dad's age. What does my dad mean when he sends me a thumbs up?
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop being so sensitive. You know, you're in the grown-up world. You may not like things, but we all deal with things we don't like, and you don't have to get upset about it.
Give that a thumbs up.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Deep thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
She's right, though.
She is. Well, if you about it, she's extremely right. Mm-hmm. She couldn't be any more right.
Yeah.
We didn't fall out of a coconut tree, so...
Well, we do exist in the context of what came before.
Speak for yourself. Maybe I did.
What's the children's book about the coconut tree? As all the letters go up in the tree?
I have no
idea. You know
what
I'm talking about? Andrew, you know what I'm talking about.
Not a clue. Never heard of it.
Okay. I'll find it and get back to you guys.
Not much of a reader. That is our introduction to our audio segment. We've got a whole bunch of stuff that I want to get to today. And I want to...
Chicka chicka boom boom. Will there be enough room? That is the question.
Oh, is it a book?
Yeah, it's a very popular children's book.
Oh, okay.
Is that a book? He says.
I haven't had to read a children's book in quite a while. Well, that's not entirely true. I read
to my niece.
Yeah, I've done that too, but it's been a while because one of them she's a little young, and I haven't been there in a while, and the other one is 11, and she's not having me read anything to her anymore.
She's like, I can read myself.
Yeah,
thanks.
I'll read. Thank you. And she's like reading novels, and I'm like, I want to read about the little doggy. She's like, yeah, okay, dummy. I want to start with audio that is it starts. Like it's going to be stupid, but there's actually a good point here. It's a guy on TikTok named Jason Pargham. He talks a lot about the movie industry and entertainment and things along those lines. But you guys, he broke the news to me. He did not break the news, but he broke the news to me that Skibidi Toilet is coming to the big screen.
We don't like to talk about this subject, but it's time. If you spend any time around kids under a certain age, you've sensed the bombshell that has dropped today. A Skibidi Toilet film and TV franchise is in the works from producer-director Michael Bay. For any of my older viewers who don't know what Skibidi Toilet is, it's simply the most popular franchise in the history of the world. Its audience is larger than that of Harry Potter, Marvel, and Star Wars combined. Now listen to me. I know how you're feeling right now. And for any of my younger viewers, someday this will happen to you too. The world will leave you behind. This is the way of things. This is nature taking its course. I know that watching the old world die can feel like a tragedy. I know that the sound of the new world being born can seem to your ears like a tune sung by a madman. But you cannot stop what's coming. There is only one way to survive. You must learn to dance to the madman's tune. Otherwise, you are consigning yourself to being buried with the old world. You'll have essentially flushed yourself down the Skibidi toilet of history.
Okay, so... there's two parts to this, and let's start with the more important one, that last part.
Okay.
He's right. The new things always sound insane to older generations.
Yeah, no, they still suck, though.
No, that's fine. They do. To us, they do.
No, but objectively.
The things that we liked when we were 10 sounded equally insane to our grandparents. They did. I'm telling you.
No,
they did.
Kids these days like stuff like this because they're... packed full of more microplastics than this bottle of Mountain Dew.
Okay.
Like that's what they're objectively messed up in the head, man.
When I was 10, I was obsessed with Pokemon.
Yeah, they got brain rot, dude.
And I know my grandparents probably thought that it was silly.
I guarantee you they thought it was insane.
Not insane.
No. Yes, insane. You can get names for these little guys that fight each other?
You can follow a through line of sensible logic.
Yeah. They created a whole universe for Pokemon.
Critters at the zoo.
So what you're saying is
a pipeline to what I would enjoy in Pokemon. This is nonsense, garbage.
It really doesn't make any sense, Wheels. That's the whole thing.
It doesn't, but it doesn't matter. That's not the point. It doesn't have to make sense. It is every bit as nonsensical to talk about an entire fictional universe.
Why are you talking like you get it? You don't get it.
No, I don't get Skibidi Toilet at all. I don't get it at all. I can't. I tried to watch it just to see. It's stupid. But I'm supposed to think it's stupid. It's not for me. It's not for you. I know. I tried. Okay. You know what I'm trying to do, by the way? As I watch it, I'm trying to get little jokes that I could throw out there at my players, and I just couldn't do it. I could not sit through it.
Do you think that there's a possibility, Wheels, that it's intentionally as stupid as possible? Like, they only like it because it's stupid.
It could be.
And so then if you, like, pretend to get it, they're like, look at this idiot.
The problem is the motivation for liking something is not really part of the criteria. Everybody, like, when I was a kid, my grandparents thought my music was insane.
Yeah.
They thought it was insane.
Well, you've got, like, 45 drummers going.
I know! And this is kind of the point. Like,
I think
And what I really like about his point is that it's going to change whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
You're going to be gone at some point. The younger people are going to have the things that they like, and they're not going to be the same things that you like. And that's okay. That's normal.
But that doesn't mean they don't suck.
Well, we can think that they suck, but obviously, listen, Andrew.
Listen, Kevin.
It has had 775 million views on those episodes. Almost a billion. Michael Bay is making a movie about it.
Is he really? I thought that was a joke.
No, this is on Forbes.com.
Oh my
Michael
gosh.
Bay is
Michael
about
Bay
to.
Sucks
this,
too.
This is the headline. Michael Bay is about to transform Skibidi Toilet into cinema.
I don't care about none of this garbage.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know we've talked about Skibidi Toilet a lot. I have no idea what's going on. It's a YouTube series.
It's a YouTube series. With heads coming out of toilets.
Okay.
Apparently there's some war between the toilets and,
earlier he asked me, he's like, so the toilets are at war, right? Like, who are they at
they
war
are.
With?
No,
like, I don't know what you're talking about.
They
don't
are.
Ask
I don't,
me.
I don't fully understand, okay? But there's a war between the toilets and some other faction that
what
I'm not aware of.
I do not understand your desire to legitimize.
I'm not trying to legitimize anything. I'm saying you and I will never get it, and that's fine.
Darn right.
Yeah, I don't want to get it.
No,
I feel like if I got it, there would be something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, I can tell you, again, using an example of something that I fully identify with, I guarantee my parents, not only my parents, but, like, obviously grandparents, if they had been around, but the people of that age, when Jackass first became a thing on MTV, people are like, what is this insanity? What is wrong with you people that you're laughing at this? Why is this funny? This is stupid.
But again, there's a through line.
No, it was just dudes pranking each other.
It's stunts.
With all kinds of nasty, dirty,
evil Knievel
horrible things.
Existed decades before the Jackass
guys. It's not just that, though. I mean, there's way more than just stunts, brother. You've seen Jackass.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
A lot of naked dudes running around doing stupid things for no apparent reason other than to make people laugh, which to an older generation seemed like insanity. Like, why is that? I had older people say to me, why do you think that's funny? It's so stupid. And that's the point. It was stupid.
Wheels doesn't seem to like to admit that the internet has changed society in a way that we don't fully understand.
I think every generation thinks the ones later are idiots.
I think we will be reckoning with the ways that internet is constantly changing
society.
We
already are, and we have been for 40 years.
But it's...
I mean, it's not like this is new.
Skibidi Toilet's new.
It is.
This is new. This is literally new.
The evolution of society on
like
this topic.
That.
But and look, in all honesty.
But Wheels, like, you have to understand, there are memes and websites out there designed to just, like, the whole point is to just be as stupid as possible.
I know.
It's almost an abstract humor.
So you can't, it's like the bear at the picnic table we were talking about yesterday.
Right.
But I don't think you can compare that to, like, Jackass or something, because you might not get, like, why the prank is funny, but you get why people like
Jackass
pranks.
I knew a lot of people that did not get that at all.
Jackass is conventional humor. It's the same way that it's the same way that pratfalls were funny in the 30s. It's funny to watch someone goof around and do something dangerous that you'd never do for the sake of
again,
outrage and
shock. More of that is there's more to it than just doing stunts. Like, they do a lot of
That also
foul,
applies to the fart
things.
Pranks as well, Kevin.
Yeah.
I wonder if Michael Bay gets Skibidi Toilet or if he's just pretending.
I
don't
know. I think they just know they're going to make money off it.
And they're not, because this always happens. They're going to make a movie out of it. This movie's never going to actually get made because they're going to sink $55 million into it. And then they're going to be like, oh, nobody talks about this anymore because it takes 4 years to make a freaking movie.
Said some boomer about Pokemon 30 years ago.
It's not the same as Skibidi Toilet. It's not the same.
Right, because your thing is better than their thing.
It is much better. Pokemon has, like, there's nuances to Pokemon is an adventure you can go on. There's a storyline.
This is about a war.
I think I'm having a heart attack.
I'm ready to just, like, admit defeat, Andrew. What about you? We just stop doing it.
You guys are sounding like olds.
I'm sad.
You're like, no, my thing makes sense. Theirs doesn't.
Pokemon does make sense. It makes perfect sense.
Now I'll just spend all day thinking about Kevin watching Skibidi Toilet videos on his 79-inch television in his basement.
I'm not going to lie. I made it for 2 minutes.
He's like, I don't get it, but these kids are geniuses.
His wife is hearing Skibidi Toilet videos in the basement going,
listen,
all right, whatever.
It has made...
None of my business.
It has made so much money. They must know something.
But I'm wondering if the kids, if they're all just
kids these days,
they're just banding together to troll us. That's my worry in the whole thing is like,
so
they're blowing it up on purpose so that the olds will be like, oh yeah, I get Skibidi Toilet. And then we're ridiculed more than ever for trying to get it. You know what
I mean?
We
all have met children. They are wretched little goblins. They are cruel monsters. They would absolutely do this to ruin our whole lives.
Because you know so many kids. You know, like, 1 year olds.
I know as many as the and.
They're like, Skibidi Toy World.
They're like, the first word is so, Skibidi.
That's what I said.
Skibidi! Oh, gosh. Well, I'm glad Michael Bay is going to make some money.
Yeah, a lot of people will. And then, like so many of these other dumb things that came before, it'll probably go away.
Yeah. It's not going to have the staying power.
I don't think anything else will, though, now. Because there's going to be something new tomorrow and the next day. Like, I do think the acceleration of what is fun and cool is getting faster and faster.
You think things just move too fast now with the internet?
No, I don't think they're too fast. I'm just saying it's faster. Like, changes in taste happen faster.
Ooh, you know what moves too fast nowadays is fashion.
There you go.
The trends move so quickly, which would be fine if it wasn't contributing to like tons of waste.
Yeah, good point.
So that's kind of a bummer.
Skibidi's not creating any waste.
I mean, other than the waste in the toilet, I guess.
Oh, is there their heads in the toilet.
Yuck. I don't get it, and I don't want to get it.
Skibidi overtook the audio segment there for a bit, so we didn't finish up on some of the other audios. You know, we blew it, though. We should have done that leading into Mike Kehoe joining us at 4 o'clock.
Well, we can always ask him his thoughts on Skibidi Toilet.
That'd be brilliant. But we didn't get to all of the audio we wanted to get to because of that conversation. Andrew, you've got some things you want to get to. What do you want to go with?
Let's play the Trump thing.
Okay. 1 second, please.
Prisons and jails, mental institutions, and insane asylums. You know, they go crazy when I say the late, great Hannibal Lecter. Okay, they say, why would he mention Hannibal Lecter? He must be cognitively in trouble. No, these are real stories. Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lamb. He's a lovely man. He wants to have you for dinner. He'd like to have you for dinner.
I don't understand.
He's happening? Doing it again.
I feel about that the way you felt about Skibidi.
He won't stop doing it. He keeps doing it.
In fairness.
And it's not clear what he's even really talking about.
It's not clear at all.
Okay, so I was going to say, so that nothing before or after explains why that tangent came up?
No, he's saying that's actually funny. He's saying like they think that he's, you know, they're saying that he's in cognitive decline because he keeps talking about Hannibal Lecter like a real person. But in doing so, he's like, come on. It's the real Hannibal Lecter.
Hello, like, Hannibal. He'll have you for dinner, obviously. What? It still doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but that was still funny.
Yeah, it's and this is like the fifth time he's done that.
Oh, he's been doing the Hannibal Lecter thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's multiple times he's brought up an affinity for Hannibal Lecter.
Affinity?
He likes him.
Mm-hmm.
He loves him.
What?
Yeah, he mentioned some at his rallies a lot.
Like a lot. Like this is probably the fifth maybe sixth time maybe.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I love that movie, and I think the character is fascinating. But I don't know that I'd be like, I like Hannibal Lecter.
And you know what? If I had to guess, I think that's where Trump's coming from too. I think he just likes the movie and likes the character, and it maybe pops into his head.
But it really is not clear, and never has been. And maybe he's doing this on purpose. But it's really never been clear if he thinks that Hannibal Lecter is a real guy or not.
No, I think that felt like trolling right there. Like he's messing with people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that felt like.
Yeah. but it hasn't always felt like that, which is kind of what I'm saying.
Would it be fun? I mean, honestly, if he did the whole fava beans thing and went, I would laugh so hard. But then I would be like, why is a presidential candidate doing that? Because I go back and forth. Like, I think those things are funny. And at times it's like, you know, it's nice to see someone in an executive race show a little bit of like, I'm a normal person too. But sometimes we do a little bit too much of the goofiness.
Yeah. I did like the other day whenever he talked about his comb over. I thought that
was awesome.
Pretty funny.
That was one of the first times I've heard him be self-effacing. I like that. Let's have more of that guy.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.